We see the power and the forces of God through the elements of the earth, which we know he's in control of. In the book of Job, he talks about the treasuries of snow. And Job, you don't even know. How can we question God? Job was questioning God. And during the storms, oftentimes we question God. Why, God? Where are you, God? What are you doing, God? And we have this boldness that shouldn't be. We should have boldness to go before the throne room of God, but it should be in humility, not in demanding or commanding. And he says, you don't even know, Job, the things that I have. Where were you when these things were founded? The primal dust of the earth. You know, there was a word that captured me many, many decades ago, primal dust. Later on, I found out that scientists discovered this element of the earth, which they call primal dust. God already knew. God is just so amazing, it's hard to fathom. So why do we question? When the storms hit, just maintain. Maintain your walk. Maintain your prayer life. Fall on your face. Get on your knees. Raise your hands. Whatever you need to do. But get that audience with God, because he's the one who's going to deliver you through the storms. He's the one who's going to protect you from harm. He's the one who died so you don't have to worry about these things. Because what greater hope can anyone have than to be resurrected? He gave an example to us of the resurrection, overpowering death. So even if a storm takes your life, what's that? But a vapor. It's just a vapor. Father God, as we come before you, we want to remember you. Father, we want to recognize you. We want to mention you. We want to be mindful of you. Father, we want to honor you. We ask that you would allow us to be cleansed. If there's anyone who didn't have prep time before coming before you and your audience, before your throne room, that we would take a moment just to ask you to cleanse us. As you said, our feet just get dirty walking in this world. You're already saved, but let me clean your feet. We ask that you wash us. But as Peter said, Lord God, not just my feet, my head, my arms, my hands. For without you, I'm undone. And with you, I'm complete. Complete us here today, Lord God. Thank you for always remembering us. May we honor you in all that we do. In Jesus' name. We all said, amen. Genesis chapter 8, we were in chapter 7, you recall. In chapter 7, it was when there was a big move going on. Everybody was moving into the ark, at least Noah's family. Eight people were coming into the ark. We spoke of how the ark is a symbolism of Jesus Christ as everyone went for safety and the destruction of the world. And we're going to tie that in a little bit more. That after the total destruction, there was total destruction. The waters prevailed, it said in verse 24 of chapter 7, over the earth 150 days. And it wasn't just the rain. We see the disasters that are going on, and that's just rain. You know, I can't imagine living in Santa Fe that 5, 6, 8 inches of rain at one time in 1 week or 1 day. But that's what happens. And what the result of it is the floods. And we don't understand that over here. We see the Royals rise and go, ooh, there's a lot of rain. How much was it? It was an inch. An inch. Oh my gosh. You know, it barely fills the Royals at best. Once in a while, it takes out a culvert. This is a lot of rain coming down and it makes a lot of destruction. But here it was the fountains of the deep that were opened up. And we spoke of how there's all these seas beneath us. Some even are salted seas, not just fresh water. And God opened them up and they were gushing out. And we spoke about the canopy theory a couple months ago, I think, when we first started, and what the elements must have been like before. And many scholars believe they didn't even understand rain as we know it, but the humidity that was in the air, that canopy theory, like a greenhouse that they believe existed back then. And here these rains come after all that. For 150 days, the waters prevailed. And then something happens and it just switches over. It doesn't give us a time frame exact, but then now all of a sudden we're in chapter 8. And it says, then God remembered Noah and every living creature and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And then he goes to make a wind, and it passes over the earth, and the water subsided. The thing is, the word remembered, it's not like we mentioned before, oh gosh, Noah, I forgot he's out there floating around. God didn't forget where he was. God didn't forget his situation. God knew exactly where he was, as he knows exactly where you're at right now. This moment, whatever thoughts have gone through your mind this morning, whatever actions have gone through your person that you've done, whatever things you've spoken, God knows. The word remembered is an interesting word. It's a zakar, and it means to mark. You mark your calendar. We mark certain things in our life, what we're going to do. You tend to remember them, even if you don't mark them in your calendar. You tend to hold on to certain dates. I kind of remember my wife's birthday. I remember my wife's birthday, because if not, I'm in big trouble. If you're here and you're married and you don't remember your wife's birthday, we'll do marriage counseling. The anniversary. And see, we mark, we recognize these things. This is the first time mentioned. Remember, we spoke of how in the Hebrew, when they're writing, the first time mention of things is very important. In the book of Genesis, the book of New Beginnings, the first time mentions is always important. Always, because this is the first time the word zakar shows up. God remembered Noah. God remembers you. In all the midst of your storms, in all the midst of your pain, in all the things that you go through, and we think that we're abandoned, and maybe it's 150 days of just floating around. You're just hanging out. But you're in Christ. You're in the ark. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. We spoke of how that is the same word that's in Ephesians, where he says, you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. He sealed the ark. You're protected from the storms. You're in a safe place. Just hang on. But it stinks. The ark stinks. There's all this smells and these animals, and my situation stinks. And, oh God, nevertheless, hang in there. It says that he remembered Noah, but not just Noah. Who else did he remember? All those who were in the ark. The others have gone and passed away. The floods haven't subsided. And even if they did, there's nothing but corpses, be it human or animal. They're gone. It was destroyed because of sin. And there's a time coming where things are going to be destroyed, this time by fire. But if you're in the ark, if you're in Jesus, you're safe. You're in a safe place. He remembered not just Noah, but all that was in the ark. Not just the people, but the animals. We find it interesting. Not just for a time, but for the future. God has our back. He's protected us. It says in verse 2, the fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were also stopped up, and the rain from heaven was restrained. It means to be withheld as he released it. The Bible speaks about our words, you know, it's like the releasing of waters. Be careful what you say, because once you release, you open that gate. Oh, now you got a mess. How do you recollect water? You can't. It starts to saturate and all that it affects or all that it runs into. As do our words. If we're harsh with our words, it goes out, and all of a sudden, the people we're talking to, it's taken in. How do you get it back? You can apologize, you can ask for forgiveness, you can get on your knees, and yes, those are things that we have to do, is get right with one another, but nevertheless, it's done. There's no taking it back. Hence, the situation or prevention is, don't say everything that's on your mind, the Bible says. Only a fool speaks all that he's thinking. Don't play the fool. Don't say everything in your mind. Take a moment and remember, you're in Jesus. You're sealed in. Shh. The first thing that when you see an argument developing, you should say to yourself is, shh, quiet. Don't say a word. But this hurts, or this is this or that. Don't say a word. The Bible even says if you don't say a word, they perceive that you are intelligent. You're wise. Don't say a word. He says, the fountains of the deep, they were released. They were restrained. He held them back. God can hold back the waters. God can walk on the waters. The waters receded continually from the earth. At the end of 150 days, the waters decreased. The storm will pass, guys. There's consequences of a storm. There's cleanup that has to happen. And God will allow us to be a part of that cleanup. There's consequences, but they fade away. God cleans up. And it says that the ark rested in the seventh month. This would be the month of Tishri. The 17th day of the month on the mountains of Ararat, which we know as modern day Turkey today. Is that the ark up on the mountain? Don't know. Could be. Wish I knew. And all the naysayers about the flood. Remember I told you about Earth in Upheaval by Ursula Peebles and how they find these huge deposits all over the world of animals, tropical, sea-bearing, everything just kind of crushed into cave-like areas. And the only way that could happen is through a worldwide flood, where animals from other nations, and they were floating around, and they just, once the waters receded, there was this pressure that squashed their bones, it says, with huge pressure. You know how hard pressure water is? When we went scuba diving, the ears, just the pressure on your ears, it's freaky. It's weird. I'd never done that before. Can you imagine the weight? In the oceans, where the oceans are 3, 4, 5 miles deep, it can crush metal. Ships can go down and they can be crushed by the weight of the water. God is true. There's fingerprints all over the world of these things that we're speaking about now in chapter 8 of the book of Genesis. It's the month of Tishri, the seventh month, and the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. That would be Tevet. In the 10th month, 3 months later, from Tishri, on the first day of the month, the mountaintops were seen. Tevet is the day of, many believe that it's the same day that Jesus' resurrection. And all these different threads from the New Testament into the Old Testament tie in over here in chapter 8, from the month of Tishri and Tevet, and how 3 months has 3 days, he laid in the tomb and he rose again. And it's a symbol or typography of Jesus Christ raising up you and I in the last days. In the 10th month, on the first day, the mountaintops were seen. As you stay in Jesus and you continue to stay in Jesus, be patient. Things will come and pass. Things will be hard and smooth. All these things will happen, but stay safe in the ark. Don't venture into the things of the world that we're going to see here in a little bit. The things, the flesh pots of the world. When they were coming out of Egypt, they craved the leeks and the garlics and the flesh pots, it says, of Egypt. Egypt always being a type of the world. And we see that it says, so it came to pass in verse 6, at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. Remember, back in 6:16, he was given the instructions to build the ark, and he says, build a little window. Make it about 18 inches, more or less, off the deck. Had he not been following God, because remember, the Bible said, he did all that God commanded. He built the window. And that was the thing where he released the raven. Then he released the dove. It's interesting because as he releases the raven, the word raven means to devour by Webster's dictionary. Devour greedily. You ever seen a hungry dog? My neighbor has a hungry dog. And he comes to our house and she loves to eat. And I'm teaching her manners, you know, just like our kids. She wants to gobble everything up. She shows up and she's like, I say, sit. And she's always just ready to go. She knows I have food. I'll have a hot dog behind my back or something. And I'll break a piece off and she jumps. And I say, nope, sit, wait. We have to learn how to wait, how to be patient, how not to get everything in your time, but in God's time. He will feed you with the things that we need in this life. Be patient. It could take years, it could take months, it could take days, it could take minutes to answer a prayer. That's all in God's hand. I've noticed that the length of prayer sometimes is the condition of my heart, or the answer to the prayer is the condition of my heart. He's delaying because I have not learned to sit. I have not learned to behave. I have not learned to be self-controlled. And it takes patience. Can you imagine God's patience on us? And then I get closer. It takes me about 3 minutes before she finally sits, and I can slip that in her mouth without her chomping. Stop chomping at God. When God? Why God? Why not God? Just be patient. Let God do what he's doing in you and what he's doing in other people. You be patient. It came to pass. When do I open the windows? You don't open the windows. You let God open the window. Or let him tell you when to move. Be patient. When, God, do we open the windows? I'll tell you when. And he says, 40 days Noah opened the window of the ark, which he had made. The importance of instruction. We have to remember that. If you want to open a window, open the window of your heart. Go before the Lord and say, God, I just open myself to you. This is who I am. God, change me. I'm open to your suggestions, to your power, to your leading. Do you want God to lead you? We all probably do. Well, then you have to learn how to follow. Until you learn how to follow, you won't be able to. Then he sent out the raven. Ravenous is another word used for raven. It means huge appetite, eager for food. Our flesh is eager for certain things. Don't give it. Feed your spirit. The raven goes out and kept going to and fro until the waters had dried up from the earth. To and fro, back and forth. You know, where are you in the midst of a storm? Do you go to and fro and, Jesus, I can't stand this. You know, God, I don't know what's going on. Oh, God, you're so wonderful. I love, Jesus, where are you? I don't see why I have to serve. Oh, I just love you. Don't go to and fro. Don't go back and forth. Be solidified in your faith. Let it be settled. Let it be hardened, set like concrete. Let it be a part of your foundation. Don't go to and fro, back and forth. Wishy-washy, I wrote down. Disarrayed, disassembled, disapproving, disconnected, disabled. All these dis words, they all have the same letter in their I. Don't be focused on I want, I need, I gotta have. Don't be disarrayed. Don't be disassembled. Don't be disapproving. Don't be discontented. Don't be disabled, because when you have all those others, you get disabled. You're no longer useful in the body of Christ because God has taken you. God said, you need to chill, man. You are not doing what I've instructing you to do. You need to rest in me. Because once you're at disabled, the next step, I believe, is disbelief. I don't think you can do this for me. I don't think I want to do this. I don't think you can do this. And then we're left with disbelief. The raven was sent out. It went to and fro until the waters had dried up on the earth. Notice something very significant we're going to see between the raven and the dove. The raven doesn't come back to the ark. It's been said that the reason the raven didn't come back from the ark is they're scavengers. We've seen crows, you know, we've seen ravens. And what are they doing in the middle of the street? They're eating. It's like buffet time for them. That's what they love. They love that putrid, rotting, smelling, disgusting flesh. And when we're like the raven, we go outside the ark, into the areas of the world, and we start feeding on the disgusting stuff. In our right spirit, it's disgusting. In our right mind, oh, that's great. This is great. The raven never comes back to the ark. If you've been out doing this, come back to the ark. Don't be a raven. Come back to the ark. But I've already partaken. Come back to Jesus. Come back to where it's safe. The dove, it says in verse 8, he also sent out from himself a dove. Here we see that the old nature and the new nature, the old nature is the raven in us. The new nature is the dove in us. Notice in verse 8 it says that he, Noah, sent out from himself. It's going to cost you something to follow the new you, the new person, the new nature. It costs you. You have to give something. Give your heart. It comes from yourself, that which you offer unto God. To see if the waters had receded from the face of the ground, and the dove found no resting place for her soul or for the sole of her foot. And she returned into the ark to him, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and drew her in to the ark. Notice that he sends her out. He draws her in. God sends you out. God draws you in. Not intended for you to stay in the world. You're not of the world. You're just in it. And there's a time to come back, to withdraw. Each and every day that you leave your house, you're in the world, but then you come back. God draws you into a safe place, a safe haven. Make your house that safe haven. Men, you're the leaders. Women, you co-lead with. Don't be causing disarray, discontentment, Don't be disabled and fall into disbelief, but keep your house together. He sends the dove out, the waters receded, and the dove found no resting place for her soul. Your soul is not at peace when you're in the things of the world. There's no rest for your soul. If you're a Christian, your soul is out there and you're picking at the things of the world and you're agitated and you're falling into the disarrayment of your spirit. Things aren't right and you're not going to get them right till you go before the Lord. And the dove's soul is not at rest. Don't sit on any foot. She doesn't eat the meat like the raven does. She's not into the flesh, and neither should we. We shouldn't be into the things of the flesh or what we find around the world. We turn into the ark as he put his hand out, he drew her in. And he waited yet another 7 days. Notice the patience that it takes to be a Christian. You wait a lot, and then you wait some more. And again, he sent the dove out from the ark, and the dove came to him in the evening, and behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth. And no one knew that the waters had receded from the earth. There's ground now. The raven was happy resting on the dead carcasses of the world. The dove was not. She found an olive leaf, and it's so cool, you know, because the olive leaf has been a symbol of peace for many, many years in civilization. And this is where it originated. You see the dove and the olive leaf sometimes together. And it's a symbol of peace. Jesus is our peace. The month of Tevet, it comes from a word called Tov or Tov Ayin. It means the goodly eye or the source of power of blessing. The Toyiv. It's a good thing. A good eye. Keep your eyes on Jesus because he's good. Jesus said, why do you call me good? Only God is good. That's why I keep my eye on you. The Toiv. I keep my eye on Jesus. That is what's truly good. That's where the blessings come from. That's where the power comes from. Keep your eyes on Jesus. The month of Tevet is known as to stir up many evils in that time into people's lives. It's a time of stirring up. It's like our December, January in our time frame. And, you know, it's a place in the Hebrew mindset where a lot of evil is stirred up. Tevet also, though, enables a human being to be able to exchange or trade the gifts or talents of his natural strength. Check this out. This is important because everything God puts there is important. It came to pass on the month of Tevet, where there's a lot of evil going on in the world, a lot of opportunity for us to get into the flesh, to go the wrong way. But it also allows us and enables us as a human being to be able to exchange or trade the gifts or talents of this natural life. It's a time where Noah has the opportunity, as does his family, to use what God has given him for the glory of God or go back to the world once they settle. To trade those gifts and talents of his natural strength into the spiritual realm that designs the purpose of his life. We have the opportunity not to change who we are, but to trade it, like trading ashes for pearls. God, this is all I have. I can work with that. God, I'm just a sinner. You've given me worldly talents, and how do I use them? You've given me a bright mind, Lord God. I notice I'm able to teach. Should I teach good or should I teach evil? You should teach good. Well, how do you know that? You keep your eye on Jesus. You keep your eyes focused on the Lord where the power and the source is, and you trade those gifts that God has given you to do good. Do it for good. It changes the spiritual realm that designs you with the purpose of life. What's your purpose? Why did God create you? He created you to worship Him. He created you to glorify Him. He created you to be a leader amongst people who are lost in a world that's going down. You have the talent. You need the power. Keep your eyes on the Lord. It says that the olive leaf was in her mouth and no one knew that the waters had receded from the earth, and he waited yet another 7 days. The patience of Noah. So he waited and he sent the dove out, which did not return again to him anymore. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month of the first day of the month, that the waters were dried up from the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and indeed the surface of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry. Turn, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, Jesus is our peace. The dove, the symbol of peace with the olive branch. Were to seek peace, it doesn't mean that you have to go buy a dove or you have to hang an olive branch in your house or anything like that. It's just symbolism. It's another picture of the ark. There's peace in the ark. And as he sent his peace on the earth, the dove rested. The Holy Spirit rests on the earth now. He says, I will send you the Comforter. There's the Holy Spirit. We have that peace in the earth, or on the earth, if you will. It says in verse 14, he himself, Jesus himself, is our peace. He's our Sabbath. He's the one that we rest in. It's not about a day to worship or a day to work or a day not to work. It's Jesus. Everything is pointing to Jesus. He's our peace. He's our Sabbath. He's our rest, who has made us both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, the barriers. What are the barriers? Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, or the hatred that is. Well, what's the hatred? Well, that is the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. You have the law. And Jesus didn't abolish it. He fulfilled the law. He's the peace, so that you no longer do the law to get favor with God or to be right with God. You do the law because you love God. You love Jesus. Why do I abstain from this? Because I love Jesus. Why do I involve myself and use the talents and the gifts that God has allowed me to trade from the physical realm, and it'll be used in the spiritual realm in a way that we don't understand? Because I love God. He brought peace. He tore down the middle wall of separation. You guys are familiar with the ripping of the veil between the separation of the priest and the people. There's no longer the pastor and the people, and the pastor's elevated. No, we're all on the same ground. We're right with Jesus. He himself broke down that so that there would be peace. People argue about the law all the time. Certain areas of the Bible, just walk in the areas that you know are fulfilled in Jesus. That's the best way I can explain it, to be at peace with God. And don't worry about what they're doing. Remember when Peter looked at John and said, what about him? Don't you look at me, buddy. Why are you looking at him? I don't look at Steve for my walk and gauge it against him, because I could maybe do better than him, you know? And then I think I'm at peace. No, we gauge it against Jesus. He's the measuring rod. And that way we're always lacking, but we're always striving. We always want to be alongside of Jesus. It says that he made peace between the law and grace, and together he made one, thus making peace, and that he might, in verse 16, reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the hatred. You shouldn't be hating another Christian, because they're different. And if you're a mature Christian, then you wait for them to be mature. And if you're not a mature Christian, then you wait for you to become mature before you say things that are out of order. And in verse 17, he came and preached peace to you who are afar off, to those who are Gentiles, to those who are near, to those who are Jew. There was enmity between the Jew and the Gentile. And Jesus made peace amongst that as well. And Paul knows, the writer of this knows all too much of what Jesus did, having been with him in the desert for 3 years. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. One Spirit. He himself broke down the wall of separation. Keep that in mind. He abolished the hatred between the law and obedience. It's a love issue now. It's not a law issue. Do this, don't do that. Fall in love with Jesus and you'll fall right in line with the law. You abolish the hatred that the law, or should I say the fruit of the law, brings. Because when the fruit of the law is growing on people who are trying to adhere to the law, it creates separation for those who have found the freedom in Christ to look at a day and say, it's just a day. And to others, it's a day of obligation, and they want to keep that day of obligation. Jesus says, to that one, it's holy if it's done unto God. To the one who doesn't keep it, it's holy if he's done it unto God. So we see that there shouldn't be enmity or hatred between the us and the fruit of the law. It's a new way, a new man from the two, the fullness of the law is in Christ, which is love. A new way creates reconciliation, putting to death the hatred, the condemnation. Jesus was preaching peace. Be at peace, guys. Be at peace. How do you stay at peace? Stay close to Jesus. Stay in the ark during the ride of life. There's going to be a lot of ups and downs and to and fro's. Stay secure there. When you're in the ark, notice what happens. You will see the mountaintops. It started off as they were floating. He saw the mountaintops. If you're in Jesus, you'll see the mountaintops. You don't have to strive and seek for them. He'll take you there. It'll be peaceful in the midst of storms. You'll see it. All the influences of the earth, just discard them. Just dump them. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We see your love and your care. We see how the first time mention of the word remembered, how you never forget us. You're mindful of us. That's what that word means. You know where we're at, whether we're at sea or on land, whether we're in a time of refreshing or it's dry in our walk. You're there. You love us. You care for us. You remember. Thank you so much for always remembering me, Lord. Many parts of me, I just like to forget. And I know you've forgotten those parts there. Others may hang on to them, but you've let them go. Help me to let them go. Help them not to influence me or pollute me or distract me because of who I once was, but help me to be encouraged of who you're making in me, a new man, a new woman, a new creation in Christ. Help me not to be so concerned with following the law as following my Lord. As I follow you, I won't wander off the path into the destruction. Lord Jesus, give us the strength we need to walk with you. Give us the wisdom that we need to stay walking with you. Give us the peace that surpasses anything I encounter in this world that would try to take my peace away. Help me never, ever to wander from your good grace. Jesus, I pray for these now. As you send them out as sheep amongst wolves, Lord God, that you would help them to be strong, that you would help them to stay pure. I pray, Father, that you would have divine appointments with people that would be encouraged by their testimony, Father, with family members that would come to the Lord, come to know you. Jesus, I pray that you would give us the ability to endure. As your word says in the book of James, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which is promised him. Help us to be not just doers of the word, but endurers of this life. We can't do it any other way except with you. It's in your name we pray. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful, blessed week.